Turn with us, if you would, to the book of Genesis this morning. Genesis chapter 40 this morning. We're going to pick up, took off last week for our singing. And we're going to pick back up this morning in Genesis chapter 40. Before we read, we'll go back over just a little bit. But for the last few weeks, we've been engaged in a study of a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph grew up in a severely dysfunctional family. Just an ugly family, to be honest about it. He had three stepmothers, and try living with that. Six stepbrothers, all living at the same time in the same house as him, his father, his mother, and four other half-brothers, and one half-sister. His maternal grandfather disowned him because of his father's deception. He endures the rape of his sister, and then he watches as his brothers enact a murderous revenge. He experiences the death of his mother while she's giving birth to his brother, and then he endures the death of his paternal grandfather. To compound the problem, Joseph is his father's favorite child, and Jacob, his father, is unwise enough to openly display that favoritism. The result is that Joseph's brothers are jealous, and they grow to hate him. His brothers scheme to do away with him, and when given the opportunity, they devise a plot where they can sell him into slavery in Egypt and then convince his father that he was killed by wild animals. One minute, he's a 17-year-old boy with all of his life ahead of him, and in the next minute, he's a slave whose only prospect is a life of bondage in Egypt. Well, in Egypt, Joseph is bought by a man named Potiphar. Years had been passed since Joseph had been sold into slavery, and he had worked his way up into the position of responsibility as head over Potiphar's household. Well, in the course of time, Potiphar's wife decided that she wanted to attempt to have a sexual relationship with Joseph. And she begins to pursue him. And ultimately, the matter comes to a head when she grabs Joseph and demands to Joseph that Joseph would sleep with her. Joseph refused her advance, ran out of the house, and left his cloak in her hand. Well, angry at that, Potiphar's wife decided to cover up her sin while at the same time getting revenge on Joseph. She began to scream, and what she had screamed was that Joseph had sexually assaulted her, and she displayed his cloak as evidence of that. When her husband learned of this, he became angry. Had Joseph thrown into prison. Now, it would have been easy at this point in time for Joseph to fall into despair. But yet, Joseph didn't. He was imprisoned, and he was imprisoned unjustly. In fact, Joseph was in prison for doing the right thing. But you know, for different folks, at different times, and different circumstances, prison comes in many different forms. We can be imprisoned by our circumstances. We can be trapped in situations that we have no power to change. We can be imprisoned by the expectation of other people. You can be imprisoned by guilt over things you may have done. Many people today are walking around with a load of guilt from things that happened years before that they've never got over. Others may have forgiven us, but we won't forgive ourselves. But regardless of whatever our prison experience is, we may find ourselves like Joseph, but if we look in the Scripture, we can find insights on how to cope with these experiences. One of the things that we have to keep in mind, and this is the premise for the whole thing, folks, and if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, I want you to perk up and listen to this right here. One of the things we must keep in mind as we examine the life of Joseph is that God is not so much interested in our circumstances as He is in our response to our circumstances. There's a great difference in that, folks, and we need to understand that. And if you would, I'd ask you to stand this morning. And let's read in Genesis chapter 40 this morning what's going on with Joseph. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things, and these things was Joseph running out of Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife accusing him, Potiphar having him thrown in prison. After it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt, and that butler also means a cupbearer of the king of Egypt, and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were there three branches, and it was as though it budded. And her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I was also in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Verse 23, look real closely. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word today. God, I pray this morning you'd light upon us, Lord, and give us a spirit of attentiveness today. God, that we may hear your word, Lord, and the truths that are there. God, we stand before your people as an ambassador for you, God, speaking for you this morning. God, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word, and God, that you might give us unction to preach today. Lord God, I pray that when times of disappointment come our way, Lord, as we said already before this morning, you're not so much interested in our circumstances as you are interested in how we respond to the circumstances. God, I pray that you may instruct us in your word today how to respond when we deal with disappointment. God, I pray there may be one here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And I pray, Father, before they leave here today, God, that they'll come in repentance unto Jesus. And God, that they may receive salvation. Lord, there may be someone here today has been born again, but God, they're out of your will. Lord, I pray today that you would draw them unto Jesus, Lord, once again. And Father, they'd come with a repentant heart. Lord, you'd restore unto them once again the joy of their salvation. God, I pray there's someone here today that's going through a disappointing circumstance in their life. God, I pray you give them the instruction, Father, on how to respond in a manner that be pleasing unto you. And God, I pray that in everything that's accomplished today, that you receive glory and honor. And God, that you may hide us behind the cross today, that when we preach, Father, that folks will see Jesus and Him only. And we'll love you and praise you for it, Father, and we'll thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. We find Joseph, and I thought about entitling this message, and I've entitled this message this morning, Overcoming the Obstacle of Disappointment. But I almost entitled the message, When It Rains, It Pours. And that's kind of the case with Joseph. When it rains, it pours. As if it couldn't have got any worse, Joseph was accused of a wrongdoing that he didn't do. Joseph was thrown into prison at the word of a lying woman. Here he's now languishing in prison. And over time, he's reached his way up to a level of responsibility in the prison because of God's goodness. And here now he's been given the charge to take care of this butler and this baker of the king. The king had gotten mad at him and thrown him into prison. And now he's in charge of them. And he's interpreted dreams for each one of them. And the first dream he interpreted, he gave a good report, and he asked the butler to do one thing. He said, "Don't forget me when the king restores you back to the place of authority." And that butler got exactly what Joseph interpreted. He was placed back into the position of prosperity again. He was placed back into the position of happiness again. He was placed back into the position of authority and respect again. But when he reached that place, the Bible says the butler forgot Joseph. Now, we didn't read the next verse of chapter 41, but the Bible teaches us it took two more years before Joseph would get out of prison. Folks, when it rains, sometimes it just pours. But folks, what do you do when it rains and it pours? How do you respond to disappointment when things come your way? I'm sure you've had someone along this road of life that has disappointed you. I'm sure you've had someone, just as Joseph did with this old butler, that has said they'll come through, but they didn't come through. You've had someone who said they'd be there, but they weren't. You've had someone that said they've got your back, but they didn't. You've had someone that said, "I'm a friend," but instead they took that knife and betrayed you. You've had folks do that at some point in time. How do you respond and overcome the obstacle of disappointment? Well, that's what I want you to look at today in light of God's Word, is how we can overcome the obstacle of disappointment. And the first way that we do so is we must recognize the providence of Joseph. Let's look at the providence of Joseph this morning. The Bible says in verses 1 through 3, that here the butler had offended the king, that the baker had offended the king. And the Bible said that Pharaoh, who is the king, was wroth at these two men. And the Bible said he threw them in ward. He placed them in prison. But I want you to notice something in verse number 3, because I want you to see something right here. The Bible says this right here. In verse 3, "And he," meaning Pharaoh, "put them," meaning the butler and the baker. All right, now watch this real closely now. Y'all pay attention real good this morning. The Bible says he put them in ward, and look where he put them. He put them in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Go back one chapter. Look in chapter 39. Where was this prison at? "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard." Potiphar says, "Get rid of him. Send him out of here." And they say, "Okay, we'll send him to prison." And by the way, Potiphar, prison's in your house.
I don't know if anybody else sees the providence of God in this or not. Everybody tried to do away with Joseph, but he's like a bad penny that kept popping up. Every time they thought they had him licked, there he was. Every time they thought they could do away with him, there he was. Every time they thought they could put their foot on him and hold him down, he'd rise up under the providence of God, and there he stood. There was Potiphar's wife had to look at him every day. The one that had rejected her advances. There was Potiphar that said, get rid of this guy. He's tried to take my wife. And every time he come home, he had to see old Joseph there. Can I tell you right now, it's not necessarily the circumstance you're in. It's how you respond to the circumstance. Hey, what do you find yourself in today? And how have you responded? How have you responded to that trial that came your way? How have you responded to that? Did you respond in a godly fashion? Or did you respond out of despair? Did you respond out of anger? Did you respond in a manner that was not in keeping with the Word of God? You can read throughout this entire portion of Genesis and look at Joseph and all of the trash that went on that people dumped into Joseph's life. Joseph never responded one time in any other way except in a manner that was honoring to God. Folks, let me tell you something. God is interested in how you respond in trials. And a lot of folks, man, they'll respond in all kinds of different ways. They'll respond and just give up and just quit and lay down on God and say, God, if this came my way, I can't, then I'll just quit. Some people respond out of anger and wrath and malice. You know what? This one did this to me. Well, then I'm going to do this back. And all these, let me tell you something. God says, let me tell you, He says, let this same mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And when they hung him on the cross, he never rebuked. He never responded in an evil manner. He was even hanging on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How do you respond in times of disappointment? Folks, we must see the providence of God. Can I remind you this morning that anything that's happened to you had to go through the hand of God before it reached you in the first place? And if God allowed it to happen, He's got a purpose. If God allowed it to happen, He's trying to bring forth something in your life. And if God allowed it to happen, hey, I believe I'd be listening to God. I'd be having my nose in the Word of God, trying to find out how God wants me to respond in a situation like this. But you know what happens in a lot of times? People are called ungodly friends. Folks want to call ungodly friends and ask them what their advice is. People that wouldn't step their foot in the church in 10 years. People wouldn't lift up a Bible to read it one time. People ain't prayed in so long they don't even know how to pray anymore. And that's the ones they'll go and ask advice of. That's the one they'll go and buddy up with. That's the one they'll try to figure out, do this and do that and come and get on my side and all this. The Bible said, don't you set yourself in the seat of the scorn. For. Don't you listening to the counsel of the ungodly. You want to get good advice? Find a man or a woman of God and buddy up with them, and they will give you advice from the Word of God. And then you can learn how to respond in a manner that's appropriate to God. Over in the book of Psalms, chapter 105, look with me this morning in verses 18 and 19. In Psalm 105, verses 18 and 19. You look at what old Joseph went through this morning. See, Joseph got placed into prison. Folks, this wasn't a country club Joseph laid at. Verse 17, might as well just add that one. Psalm 105, verse 17. He sent a man before them. This is God. God is He right here. Sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. He didn't go down there and they just gave him the grand tour of the place. They laid him in fetters, placed him in iron. Can you imagine the old iron shackles around his ankles and the old iron fetters around his wrists and just holding him constantly in prison? This ain't like today's prisons, folks. It ain't TV on the wall, and it ain't three squares a day, and it ain't a yard out there where you can go and work out and play basketball. Folks, they were in a dungeon and they had chains and fetters holding old Joseph down. He was in absolute bondage. But can I tell you that with all of that, and by the way, it was physically painful for Joseph to lay there, and he never responded in any way that was dishonoring to God. Never. Not one time. Not one time has he ever responded in a manner dishonoring to God, because he recognized the providence of God. We read to you last chapter. He goes into Potiphar's house. God was with him. He goes into the prison at the end. God was with him. Everywhere Joseph went, God was with him. You think Joseph didn't know that? I guarantee you Joseph knew that. You can't but know when God is with you. If God be for you, who can be against you? I'm glad to know that the providence of God is on our lives. Folks, we're not living aimlessly. We're not walking trying to figure out, but we've got a path that God has for our lives, and we're walking in accordance to the providence of God. See, they recognized the providence of Joseph. Now I want you to look secondly at the promotion of Joseph. Well, Potiphar thought he'd got away with it. Potiphar thought he'd done away with Joseph. Get him out of here. Throw him in prison. They landed him right in the bottom of his house. And then here's this keeper of the prison. And you know Potiphar's thinking, well, if I gotta keep him, I'm gonna hold him down. And he puts him in irons, Brother Eric, and he puts him in fetters, and he's holding him down. Even he's got him tied down as hard as he can go. But yo, you ever hear that old song, you just can't keep a good man down? Here come the keeper of the prison. I like this. Oh, hallelujah. Potiphar thought he'd just get him down, bind him up in chains and fetters. Keeper of the prison came along, saw the anointing of God on old Joseph, and because the providence of God, can't you just see him unlocking the chains and saying, I've watched your life and I see how you handle yourself. You know what? There's something about you that's different from everybody else. I want you to be my right hand man. I want you to help me. And can't you see old Potiphar coming home one day, and there he's thinking old Joseph is down there at the prison, and he's racked up in them shackles and them fetters, and he's just in a mess, and he's going down to check on his prisoners, and he walks on in, and there's old Joseph now walking around in the prison, and he's taking care of the prisoners now, and he's the right hand man of the prison keeper. Don't you know that just jumped all over Potiphar? Don't you know that just ate him up? But can I tell you right now, when God's in the business of being on your side, all of hell can't keep you down. The Bible says in verse 4, the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Old Potiphar said, well, if you can't beat them, join them. He said, I've done everything I could do to keep him down. Might as well let him just be in charge of these two guys. So Potiphar says, there's nothing else I can do. I've done everything to try to hold him down. I can't keep him down. Here, just give him the baker and the butler then. Let him hang out with them for a while. Well, let me tell you something. There was a promotion on Joseph's life. You know what? You may be down in the pit right now, but if you'll just keep responding the way God wants you to respond, God will promote you out of that pit. But you start responding in evil, and you keep responding in anger and malice, and you keep responding in hate, and you keep responding in backbiting and all this stuff, and God will keep you laying right in that pit. You might as well just go ahead and make your bed in the pit, because that's exactly where you'll lay at. But see, folks, let me tell you something. I simply believe in the providence of God. And I can tell you right now, in the counsel and authority of God's Word, if God is on your side, there is no weapon formed against you that shall ever prosper. The devil will not be able to keep you down. All the minions of hell will not be able to keep you down. Every enemy that you've got in this life will not be able to keep you down. They may bind you with fetters and chains. They may try to put all kinds of trash on you. They may try to throw it down your throat. But can I tell you right now that God, I believe in a supernatural God. God will supernaturally lift you up out of that pit, and He'll set you in a place of promotion that nobody but God could put you in. You see, the promotion of Joseph
Look with me just a second. Proverbs 16 and 7. One of my most favorite verses in the Bible. The Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord. See, it's not your circumstances, it's how you respond to your circumstances. He didn't say if a man's circumstance pleases the Lord. He said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Old Potiphar was down there saying, throw him in prison, shackle him up in fetters and chains. By the time he is done, Potiphar was saying, well, let him be over the butler and the baker. Who else could have done that but God? How many times has somebody tried to put you down? How many times someone tried to get rid of you? How many times has someone tried to come against you? But here you still stand today, serving God and prosperous, because God brought them at peace with you. God's promotion is far better than man's promotion. And look. See, you see the promotion of Joseph, the providence of Joseph. And then I want you to look right here. Here's real important right here. I want you to look at the perception of Joseph. And I'm not talking about how people perceive Joseph, but I want you to look at how Joseph perceived people. In verse 5, they dreamed a dream. Each man, according to his dream, butler and the baker, they all dreamed these two dreams. Verse 6, Joseph came in unto them in the morning. Looked upon them, and behold, he noticed something. We don't have to say anything else except this right here. Joseph grew up in a dysfunctional family. Joseph had three stepmothers and a mother. His mother died giving birth to his younger brother. Had a sister that was raped, and brothers went out and killed the folks that raped her. For lying daddy. Deceitful. Grandfather didn't want nothing to do with him. Another grandfather that died. Brothers sold him into slavery. Told his father he's killed. He goes to Egypt in bondage. Woman lies on him, gets him thrown into prison. Now he's in prison. If you would have went through all of that, would you have cared what anybody else was going through? Would you care whatsoever how anybody else feels? Or would you be so wrapped up in your circumstance and situation that you couldn't perceive the need of someone else? Through all of it. Through all of it. Joseph never lost perception of the needs of others. He looks at them and he comes to them and he says, why are you sad? Sounds like a dumb question, don't it? They're in prison. That's enough answer right there. Buddy, where are you from? I mean, have you looked around? We're in prison. What do you mean, why am I sad? But Joseph went through all of that and he still had enough of God that he wasn't concerned about himself to the point that he lost all concern for others. And how many folks have we come by? And they've got stuff going on, and it is hard stuff. It's trials, it's heartaches, it's tribulations, and it's all kinds of mess. And they're going through this dark valley, and it seems like the pain is so overwhelming to them. And you know what? They are so tied up in their life, in their trials, and in their circumstances that they absolutely don't care one thing about what anybody else is going through. See, it's not about your circumstances, it's about how you respond in your circumstances. Joseph responded. Look at what Paul said here. Paul said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, I want to show you something here. In Luke. Keep that verse in mind, but I want you to go to Luke right here, just real fast.
Now, in Luke 24, beginning in verse 13, we've got my favorite passage of Scripture in all the Bible. I got two disciples, whom one of them, we don't even know their name, and they're leaving Jerusalem, walking on a road, going to Emmaus. And Jesus has just been crucified on Good Friday. Sabbath has went by. Sunday now, they're heading out of town. Nothing else to live for. We spent all this time thinking He was going to be the one. Now they're down in the mouth. They've given up all hope. They're in despair and they're leaving. Verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, the Bible says, that they should not know Him. Now, Jesus, in about 3 days' time, had just went through one of His disciples selling Him out. Jesus had just went through all the other disciples. Well, He just went through getting arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane by the Roman soldiers. Now, He's been brought before trial before the Jewish leaders and the Roman courts of the day. And on top of that, all of His disciples, including old Peter, who said, I'll go with you and we'll fight for you all the way. They've ran and hid like scaredy cats. And they've all forsaken Him. He goes before Pilate. Pilate says, I can't find any fault in Him. They send Him to Herod. Herod plays around with Him a while, so it sends Him back to Pilate. He comes back to Pilate. Pilate says, you know what? Let's just scourge Him and let's beat the far out of Him, is what they're saying. Let's beat the far out of Him, and maybe that will satisfy the bloodlust of all these Jews. So they beat the tar out of Him, strip the hide off His back, take Him all the way down to the bones. They put crowns of thorns on His head. They smite Him on the face, pluck every hair He's got out of His face and out of His beard. He's not even according to Isaiah, His face is not even recognizable anymore. And then they bring Him before the Jewish court and they say, behold the man. And they said, now, what do you want us to do with Him? And they're still not satisfied. And they yell out, crucify Him. So they take Him and they drag Him through the city and they hang Him on a cross while they let a murderer go in His place. And there He hangs on the cross, nailed between two thieves, and they won't even give Him anything to drink. They're gambling for His garment. They despise the very ground He's on, and He dies between those two thieves, and He goes into a borrowed tomb because He never had one of His own. And now He's rose from the dead. All of that has happened to Him, and He would have been just to enact an absolute punishment upon mankind. But He finds two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and He's so concerned about them that He says, why are you so sad? What do we do? We get so tied up in what's went on in our life that we don't care one thing about what's going on in anybody else's. God said, let that mind be in you, which was also in Him. And I know we all go through trials. We all go through heartaches. We all go through problems in life. But it's not what you go through that is the weight. It's how you respond when you're going through them. And Joseph never lost his perception. Now look, not only do you see the perception of Joseph, but you see the preparation of Joseph. Now, in verses 8 through 13, they said unto him, they said, Joseph, we dreamed a dream. He said, okay, what's the dreams? Baker tells him a dream. And so Joseph says, well, don't interpretations belong to God? Hey, I'm walking with God. I'll tell you what it means. You know what that tells me? Joseph was prepared. Joseph was prepared. Everybody else they brought in tried to interpret Pharaoh's dream. You'll see that next chapter. They bring them all in, try to interpret all these dreams. Nobody can interpret them. Joseph comes along. He can interpret them. Why? He's prepared. He's walking with God. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Folks, we need to be prepared. Now, I want you to look with me, if you would. Take this scripture right here. Go with me in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. And look what Peter says. 1 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 15. Now, as long as you've known me, I've always promised you this one thing. I'll not give you my opinion when I preach. And so far, I believe I've upheld that bargain. I'll never give you my opinion. You won't sit up here and hear me in my opinion. I believe this. I think preachers that do that ought to go sit down somewhere. I don't want your opinion. I want what God's Word says. The Bible says this. 1 Peter 3 and 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Prepare yourself, he's saying. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know why Joseph could interpret that dream without having to ask anybody else? You know why Joseph could say, don't interpretations belong to God? Here, let me tell you what that means. Because he had his heart prepared by God. Why is it you're going through this, but yet you're victorious? Because greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. How come all the enemy flings his fiery darts at you? Because I have taken up the full armor of God. Therefore, I can withstand the wiles of the devil. You know, let me tell you something, folks. We've got a great hope. The Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. Joseph was prepared. By the way, can I just give you a piece of advice this morning? And this ain't my opinion. This is truth in the Word of God. You're going to go through a trial. It's time right now. Don't wait till it gets here and try to figure out how to deal with it. You're going to go through a trial. You may say, I just got out of one. Well, you ain't done breathing yet. There's another one coming. And you're going to go through one. Somebody else may come against you. It's something else. The bottom may fall out of it. Sickness may come along. Death may enter in. Something's coming your way. I advise you now, get prepared for it. Get prepared for it. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready for when that day comes. Joseph was prepared. And look at this last thing. I'm going to go through this one real fast. The petition of Joseph. He said, but think on me when it shall be well with me, with thee. He said, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh. Bring me out of this house. He made petition. Folks, let me tell you something. Don't be ashamed to make petition unto God. You cry out to God. You keep praying. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It will avail much because God said it would. And you can take it to the bank. His ear is not so shortened that it cannot hear. And when you cry out to God, He'll hear your prayer. He'll answer your prayer. And He'll come through for you every time. Now, I'm done with that. Here's the last part. You see the patience of Joseph. You see the patience of Joseph. Bible says in verse 23, after all that he had done, the Bible said, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Forget him. At that point in time, Joseph could have said, that's it, I quit. God, I've had it. Every time I try to do good to somebody, look what happens. I'm getting the wrong end every time. You know what? They're getting the elevator and all I get's the shaft. I've had it. There's nothing else. Why keep trying for God? But can I remind you that those three Hebrew boys weren't rescued until after they were in the fire? Can I remind you that Daniel was not helped until after he was thrown into the lion's den? Can I remind you that Jesus didn't come walking on the water until the fourth watch of the night? And can I remind you that Jesus didn't raise Lazarus from the dead until after he had been dead 4 days? Can I remind you that the Bible said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, because then if we'll do that, we shall not be lacking, the Bible said, but we shall not want anything. Joseph was patient. 2 more years. 2 more years, Joseph had to wait. 2 more years before Joseph was lifted up out of that prison. But Joseph had patience. And folks, you may be sitting there today saying, I don't know when God's going to come through for me. I've tried, and I don't know. It will not come together. I can't get it to work. This is not getting any better. I'm still sick. I'm still in despair. I'm still broke. I can't get ahead. Can I tell you, hey, God's not done yet. God's not done yet. And the Bible said, the old butler forgot him. But I want you to read in here something real quickly. It doesn't say God forgot him. All this world may forget you, but God knows your name. All this world may throw you by the wayside, but God knows every little sparrow that falls to the ground. He says, are you not much more value than many sparrows? God knows you. Let me end this little story right here. A young woman went to her mother, told her about her life and how all the things were so hard for her. She said, Mom, she said, I'm tired of fighting and struggling. I don't know how I'm going to make it. And it seemed as though just as one problem was solved, a new one arose. And she felt like she was just going to give up. Well, after listening, the mother walked her young daughter into the kitchen. She filled 3 water pots and placed each of them on a high fire. Soon the pots came to a boil. Without saying a word, the mother reached for some items to place in each of the pots. In the first pot, the mother placed some carrots. In the second pot, she placed some eggs. In the last pot, she placed ground coffee beans. Then she went back in the living room for a while and just let them boil. Well, after about 20 minutes, the mother got back up and took her daughter back into the kitchen, went in and turned the burners off. She fished out the carrots and placed them into one bowl. She pulled the eggs out and placed them in another bowl. She then took a ladle and got the coffee out and placed it into another bowl. She looked over at the daughter and she said, now tell me, what do you see? Daughter said, carrots, eggs, and coffee. Well, her mother brought her closer and said, I want you to feel the carrots. She did, and she noticed the carrots were real soft. The mother then asked the daughter to take an egg and to break it. So she took the egg. And she began to pull off the shell, and she noticed the egg was hard-boiled. Finally, the mother asked her to sip the coffee. The daughter tasted its aroma, and then she asked her mother, she said, why are we doing this? And her mother explained that each of those 3 objects had faced the same adversity, boiling water. Each of them, however, reacted differently. The carrot went in strong, hard, and unrelenting. However, after being subjected to the boiling water, it softened and became weak. The egg had been fragile. Its thin outer shell was the only thing protecting its liquid interior. But after sitting in the boiling water for a time, the insides of that egg became hard. The ground coffee beans were unique, though. After they were in boiling water, they changed the water. Which one are you? Which one are you? When adversity knocks on your door, are you the carrot, the egg, or the coffee bean? Do you go in as a spiritual giant like the carrot until trials come in and then all of a sudden fall apart? Get so soft and mushy and pfft. Or do you go in this life and you've got a tender heart and you're soft on the inside, but when hardship comes your way, your heart is so hard right now, just like that old egg? Or do you respond like the coffee? The coffee landed in boiling water,
It didn't change the bean, but the bean changed the water. And folks, that's what God expects from us. It's not the circumstances, folks.